We are going to continue in our, throughout the month of February, we've been looking at just a series focused on oneness. There we go. We have a chance to take a look at what God has been doing in our lives, and when it comes to marriage, there's this idea of oneness, this idea of being one flesh. That's God's ultimate desire. So, I want you to walk me through what is a beautiful story that I created just for you guys, by the way, just for you. So there was once some very able and capable maiden, by the way. She wasn't helpless, so we'll make this PC, right? So modern, bring it up to modern day. However, she found herself in a bind, right? And all of a sudden, this dragon came out of nowhere, right? So you have this. You have this maiden who, like I said, very capable maiden, but found herself in a difficult spot, and though she didn't need him, a knight showed up, a battle ensued, and the knight goes and slays the dragon. Dragon dies. I spent a lot of time on this, people, just so you know. solid, right? And so the dragon is slayed, and there's the maiden and the knight, and what happens? They live what? Happily ever after. What's that? It's funny you should say that. Happily ever after. It's everywhere. All your fairy tales that you probably remember growing up had this ending of happily ever after. Right. Some of you have been to a wedding where they'll put, oh, happily ever after. And anybody who's been married more than 2 days, it's everywhere. This idea, oh, we get married because we want to be happy. Right? The idea, like, happiness is a goal in marriage. Right? That we strive for happiness. And while I don't want to say that we should be happy, there should be no happiness in marriage. I think the hard idea is that we've been so ingrained that, oh, if you just get married, from that point on, everything is just going to be, you name it, great. Puppies and rainbows and two scoops of raisins, by the way. By the way, I mean, I'm going to make that phrase. I'm going to make that happen. I've been saying it for like 8 years now. I want a t-shirt that says puppies and rainbows and two scoops of raisins, just so you know. But like, if we looked what God desired, right? God desired in marriage. He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every other living creature that moves on the ground. Craig Rochelle of Life Church puts it simply. He says, the desire for God, his desire for marriage was to multiply, to conquer, to create, and to expand. Like this idea that marriage was going to be the vessel by which all that was carried through. And he spoke to them. Notice that he speaks to the two of them. This is what I desire for you to do with your lives together. Build something. Create something beautiful. You know, and last week we were in this place. And we looked at oneness and Satan's response to that. Satan's response to what God loves is that he hates it. Like, God wants to separate what God brings together. This has been his motive all along, and it doesn't change. Now, the problem is, I think when we sell that marriage is meant to be, like, you get married and that brings on happiness, I think that's problematic. I think it's bad thinking. I think we've been ingrained to think that way from our culture, because the reality is marriage will not always invoke this feeling of happiness. But it was God's desire that marriage be a place where unity exists. Unity. Like, the ultimate goal for marriage is not happiness. Now wait, it's unity according to God. He said he brought two of them together to make them one so that they could do a common goal. And out of that unity breathes happiness. I think when we think of happiness, we have to remember that it is a byproduct. It is not the product. And I think so often we go, and if we're just relying on emotions, I think they sell us short. But when you look at God and what He desired for marriage and what for marriage to be, it is meant for two people being unified. The purpose of marriage is to be unified, to be one. And then out of that flows all these grand opportunities for us to find happiness and joy and love and fulfillment. All these things come from a place of unity. And so I want us to think, what is the purpose of my marriage? What is the purpose of what God is doing in our lives? And when we look at marriage, you know, we have to begin to, you see some people, right? We're just in it for the kids, right? Have you ever known someone like that? Well, things aren't good, but we're just in it for the kids. And you're like, ah. Or there's some weird relationships where there's some sugar daddy out there, like this is, whew, that is weird, right? But like, you think about what is the purpose? And usually it's about what I'm getting out of it, all right? Or what is it that I can get? And like I said last week, when me becomes louder than we have a problem. Because it's God's desire to bring unity to a place where there's two people becoming one is what marriage is all about. And if we could continue to visit back to that Genesis narrative, that was what God was doing in the very beginning, bringing two people into a place of oneness. And there was a purpose there for them to be one and move forward as one. God desired unity to be the purpose of marriage, to be together, to glorify Him. Like you ask people, like young people, what is the purpose of marriage? To be happy? And my hope is to change your opinion. What is the purpose of marriage? To glorify God together. Like the purpose of marriage is to glorify God together. And by the way, this is true if you're a married couple or if you're a single. It doesn't matter. The purpose of your life is to glorify God. The problem with a married couple is that you just have more people to have to deal with. Like, you have the harder job because you've got to make two people become one. But the truth is still the same. The point of life is to bring glory to God. But in marriage, it's meant to be unified so you can bring glory to God. There is a couple, I mean, there are many couples in the Bible, right? Ruth and Boaz. Oh, my gosh, Ruth and Boaz. Oh, right. Ruth and Boaz, if you ever read it. Oh, my gosh, you're so good. Right. You know, there's other couples that are like nightmares. I see you, Samson, right? I see you, Samson. What are you doing? But then there's one couple in particular. They're never mentioned apart from each other. And they're mentioned 6 times in the Bible. And that's Priscilla and Aquila. This beautiful couple that Paul writes to them about what they did for him. And if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be in a very small section here today. Because we're going to use Priscilla and Aquila as a test case for us. Romans chapter 16. It's at the very end of the book. Very end of the book. And we can see their purpose. We can see their purpose for their marriage displayed in very short amount of time. Take a look. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. We also the church that meets at their house. This was a power couple in the early church. Notice what they did. They risked their lives for Paul. What in the world were they thinking? What were they doing? Right? And like I said, they are never mentioned apart from each other. Why? Because we can see on display the heartbeat of their marriage was to glorify God with everything that they were and go forward using their gifts and abilities. Yes, two people becoming one, but with one common goal, and that is to make Christ first and center in their lives. And look, they were so committed to it that they were willing to put their lives on the line. In fact, we're going to see in a little bit, the wording is actually they stuck their necks out for me. That was probably pretty true, because there's probably a good chance that there was a chance they might lose them. And so they made their marriage about Christ. That's what they made it about. That's why whenever I do a wedding, I love premarital counseling. It's fantastic. Whenever we do premarital, it's great. Because we get a chance to sit down and we talk about all these great questions, right? And usually, It's my brides out there. Usually my brides are more focused on the wedding. The wedding. The husbands are just along for the ride. Whatever she wants. Right? It's always the case. Always the case. Whatever. Right? And they'll ask opinions. What do you think? Whatever you want, honey. Right? But the bride is focused on the wedding. And they're asking me to come to the wedding. And I'm like, listen, I don't care about your wedding. I care about your marriage. Like, that's just one day. I care about when it's like week number three and you're picking up some guy's probably most likely dirty underpants off the floor. And all of a sudden, it's not the beautiful moment that is at the altar. Now it's real life. This is marriage. Two people becoming one. And how do we begin to live a life? And that's why whenever we do married couple, we talk about all types, you know, conflict, finances, children, intimacy, all these things that can bring conflict into a marriage and how we begin to work through that. And the one thing is, what is the point? What is the point of you guys getting married? What is that you want? I want to be happy. Let's talk about that for a moment. I want you two to be unified because God is bringing you together. What God has brought together, Jesus said, let no man separate. And if God is doing the bringing together, he has a purpose for you. And the same is true whether you're married or not. God has a single individual purpose for your life, and it's to glorify him. But our married couples out there, what we need to do is as we put our marriages on the forefront, the question we have to ask is, what is the mission? What is the mission of your marriage? For Priscilla and Quilla, for them, it is pushing back the gates of hell. For pushing back against the enemy. And to make their lives an opportunity to put God first in all that they've done. To serve God in unity. That is where we're getting. That is the ultimate goal. And watch as that has byproducts. Even James. James is great. The book of James is fantastic. And if you ever read the book of James, it starts off with like a gut punch. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. For when you go through trials of various kinds, you're like, what are you talking about? Going through something awful to bring about. And then he goes on to say, because all out of all these things comes about something grand. Perseverance, endurance, and the name goes on. But it's the trials and it's the tests and it's the things that you go through bring about something good. And so if you go into a marriage wanting something that has to be the result of something, you're going in for the wrong reason. You're putting the cart before the horse. The desire for marriage is to be unified in Christ, and watch as that breathes out. I guarantee you, some of you have experienced things in your marriage, and you see that as a result of us being together, being committed to Christ, we have gotten through it, and I can testify about how that has brought into that all types of feelings and expressions of love and peace, and you name it. And so, serving God in unity, that is God's desire for our marriages out there. Two becoming one. And so, my challenge to us, if that is not the case, well, we have to begin to take a look at and prioritize, what am I seeking? Where am I being selfish in this? Where what is broken that needs to be restored so we can get back to a place of restoration and unity? That is where we are. For Priscilla and Aquila, they did it in amazing ways. And for you and whomever it is, it's about coming to a place of unity. And that's the purpose. Let me pray. Lord, we're not over yet, by the way. We got a little bit to go. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would, as we take a look at the text and we take a look at Priscilla and Aquila, what we'll see is ourselves and the mission and the vision for what we do, the heartbeat behind everything we do in our relationships, whether that's a current marriage or maybe that's a relationship going forward, or maybe that's looking back and seeing how God has just honored and blessed some of our relationships that are no longer. But Lord, here and now, where we seek is to see your hand at work as we continue to desire a level of unity, whether it's here at our church, whether it's here in a relationship dynamic between married couples, Lord, it matters not. You are a God that desires unity in all things. And Lord, guide and lead us in these truths. Guide and lead us as we move forward. And let Priscilla and Aquila be that which we look to see a couple that are on fire for you and what they're doing and how they're moving and being moved of and by the work that you're doing. Thank you. But bless this time. Sanctify it by the power of your word. And Lord, I seek just for you to do a mighty work among us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe, from what I understand, from what I believe that the text is speaking, is when we have one purpose, it breeds unity. Take a look. Look at what the text says. Look how every single time that this couple is mentioned, they're mentioned in the plural. I think it's fantastic that they were together in all things, and all of a sudden we have this level of unity in this marriage, and it's coming from them being connected all the time. I had a chance to join a hockey league. Ben and I get a chance to every Sunday night. Ben and Locksaw and I, we shoot a puck around in the evening. It's a great way to relieve some stress, I can tell you that. But the idea, every so many months, they bring a bunch of random strangers together, and they put them together on a team, and there's some people coming from all over the place. And we have some very colorful characters on some of our teams. Right? And all of these folks come together, and if you've ever played in a rec league, you know, all of these personalities and people, especially if it's adult league, maybe this is even collegiate, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all these people coming from different places, coming to one place to serve for one common purpose. You know, and as the season goes on, all of a sudden, people who are committed to the same purpose, there breeds a level of unity there. Like, oh, we're all trying to stop this puck in that net? Oh, okay. All of a sudden, there's a level of unity there. Because I believe that when you share a common vision, there breeds a sense of unity. And so when we don't have unity, I think what happens is we've lost our sense of purpose. We've gone to go one way or the other, and we're losing each other, or we have our eyes on the wrong prize. And the purpose for what we do, and especially in our marriages, is meant to serve God. And it brings a level of unity within a marriage. See, I believe that purpose breeds unity. When you're committed to the same purpose, the same ideals, the same Jesus and what his word is for you, it brings a level of unity. Unity is what God wants from your marriage, to bring about this level of oneness that we talked last week. He wants to bring together, but Jesus made this so clear. There's an enemy that desires to shake apart and destroy everything that you are trying to work together. You see, I truly believe God brought Adam and Eve together for a common purpose, and it wasn't long before Satan got his hooks in there to bring that apart. And notice Jesus' words, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it in full abundance. If you don't know, I come to John 10:10 a lot. A lot. I preach it all the time. Why? Because it's Jesus' purpose for us. He says, I came to give. I came to give you. But the enemy, he comes to take away from you, to give you less. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you that you may have life and have it in so much that it's over. Flowing. And so as we look at the lives of Priscilla and Aquila, what we see is their purpose was to serve God. And I believe, but we're going to see them in other aspects, they had this grand vision and purpose, and they were unified in this purpose, and they saw God move in amazing ways, and God blessed them and gave them this beautiful life within their marriage. The problem is, if we're seeing our marriages and there are places where where life is getting sucked away, right? All of a sudden, we can kind of understand who's doing that. You see, Satan takes away while God breathes life into things. This is what he does. One's here to give, and the other's here to take. Marriages work. But if you have an overall sense of giving and taking, you can begin to see who's at work and who's doing the work there. Priscilla and Aquila, co-workers in Christ. A little formatting issue there, sorry about that. But anyway, as we look at this, we look at what our purpose is for this. This is what they wanted to do. I want to just make sure that we understand this. As we look at the NSAB, notice what they were willing to do. They were so driven by this common purpose, they were willing to put their lives on the line together, knowing that they were putting themselves in danger. They were so committed to this common cause, nothing was going to stop them. And it's a challenge to many of us here this morning to take a look at what is the purpose, what is the vision of who we are as a couple, as a married couple, and what are we about? Let's move on. My heading's wrong. I want you to take a look at this. Go to, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 18. You can join me here too. Because I want to continue in this story here as we take a look at Priscilla and Aquila. In Acts chapter 18, we see them come through again. Take a look. Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man, and through knowledge of scriptures, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he had spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their homes and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So as Priscilla and Aquila, actually what they did is they actually opened up their home to bring Apollos in, and they began to actually invest into this individual. It says they taught him more fervently in what he was going to learn. This guy was already kind of on fire with the Lord, but then they came alongside, and as a couple, they actually invested into this person to say, hey, we want to see you move even closer to God and be used of him. This couple was on fire for Jesus. They even opened their home to a stranger to bring about something grand in his life, and they began to invest as a couple into this new follower. Anyway, this new follower is only a disciple of John the Baptist. And here they are going even deeper because they're sharing their common unity with even people who are on the path with them. Even so much so that they're bringing them up to speed with him. The purpose of their marriage was to invest into the kingdom of Jesus. And I think so often we get so sidetracked because we want in our marriages, we want them to be a fulfillment for me. I want what I want. Like, it probably would have been great for them to, you know what, I really don't feel like having a pop over tonight. You know what, we should just, like, turn out the light and just let him be. Like, you know what, we could just spend the night in. I don't really, like, you know what, I've already put my sweatpants on. Well, it's not good to have him over, right? But no, they were so willing that they opened their home to him. Listen, you all know, you have a picture in your head of a godly couple, I guarantee you. And if you're, I remember Tab and I would dream about, oh, we want to be that old couple holding hands in the mall, whatever it was, right? and Tab's mad because I never hold her hand. So, like, she's like, we can always dream, right? Or maybe your vision is to be that old folks in the rocking chair, like looking out at the sunset kind of thing. Well, those aren't bad things to want. But how much richer and deeper will those things mean if we've built a life that was serving Jesus with all that we've had and investing in the things that truly matter? And not that your 401k doesn't matter or your kids don't matter. These things are all great things. But what I'm saying is, what is the purpose of all of it? For Priscilla and Aquila, they wanted to invest into the kingdom. They wanted to be a part of what Jesus was doing. And they wanted to use their marriage as a to advance the kingdom of God and to say, Satan, you don't belong here. And this is an opportunity and a learning lesson for all of us to think about what is the purpose of what we do. Why do we do what we do? Why do we argue all the time? Why do we, you know, whatever it is that seems to be the course and the direction, we can look at what God has done in some of the lives of some of the couples and see where are we missing the mark? Where am I looking more at me rather than we? Where is my purpose not lining up with what God wants for our marriage? And we begin to see, I need to come back on track. Where has God gifted your marriage to serve the kingdom? You know, where has God given you certain giftings? We love kids. Maybe foster care is in your future. Oh my gosh, we've been so blessed by the Lord. Maybe that's giving to a certain areas, and I'm not asking for money. That's not what I'm asking about. All I'm saying is if God has blessed you two as a couple, if he has given you a heart and giftings for things, use it for the kingdom. Use it to bring that abundant life into what God is doing. It is a vessel by which God wants to use to serve the kingdom of God, and it's amazing. What is your purpose? For Priscilla and Aquila, they lived this beautiful life where they just served God so much so they're running over their lives on the line for Jesus. I'm not telling you to do that just yet. But what I am telling you is just a measure. What have we been called to do for him? Lastly, united ever after. That's what I'm looking for. To be united ever after. Like, I can only imagine, like, some of, like, our favorite fairy tales that are out there. You know, like, we have all these grand. Like, can you, like, the movie ends and we never get a chance to see, like, how, like, true life really starts. Like, can you just imagine, like, Little Mermaid, Prince Eric had, he likes baked flounder. Can you just imagine, like, what kind of, like, what that would have brought up? Like, you know, what if Sleeping Beauty didn't turn out to be a morning person? Right? Like we don't know. We'll never know. Like, these things, like, but, like, we see this beautiful picture of, like, oh my gosh, right? And by the way, all of us have been deceived by somebody else's Instagram, by the way. Every single person in this room has been deceived. Because I love, oh, there's nothing better than to see those expectation versus reality. Like, when you see someone's, like, Instagram, and, like, oh my gosh, it looks so great, and then they zoom out, and there's, like, 1,000 other people doing the same thing, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. We have been just so cultured to think that everybody's lives are just absolutely perfect. And the reality is they're not. They're not. We are all broken people. Every single one of us. And guess what? I'm going to call out that of the Hensels. I really did. But they said they never fought a day in their life. And I just don't believe that. I cannot believe that. Maybe they did. Maybe they were the one couple that never fought a day in our marriage. And I'm like, that I am in bad shape. Like, oh my gosh. Oh, some of ours are legendary. Like, I love you, Tap. Like, but, like, you know, life has a way of just sneaking up on us, and man, I tell you, we allow sin to creep in, and we are selfish people, we are broken people, and that's what we bring into a marriage. And that's why if we're looking for anything other than what I believe to be what God wanted, and that's unity, we are going to be sorely mistaken. And we go into this with the blinders fully on. Because there are no perfect... happily ever after is not the end. Right? That's just a beautiful way to just say that we don't want to talk about this anymore. In fact, real life starts after happily ever after. And for my opinion, you have to be united ever after if you want to begin to make it. To be united in one common purpose and one common goal, to see God move. We don't have all the information on Priscilla and Aquila. We don't. I guarantee you things were probably, I'm sure Aquila came in with dirty shoes on in the house or something, or Aquila bought some special vase that she didn't, like, you know, she went out and said, oh my gosh, this is going to be fantastic, and she bought it, like, 50 of them, pre-Amazon, right, and they showed up at the house, and Aquila's just kind of upset about it. I'm sure, like, this stuff happened then. But here's what I know. The picture we have of them is that they were united in one common goal. In Jesus at the center of everything they do. And we don't hear the bad stuff, but what we see over the course of their life is that they were united in one common goal and purpose, and that was Jesus. So much so they were willing to put their lives on it. And so my call to us today is for unity within the marriage. To come to a place of understanding, of commonality, of purpose, and watch God begin to exalt you and your spouse in your marriage with each other. Right? Craig Groeschel says this, there's no greater tragedy in a marriage than when people are together but not united. We see marriages all the time, whether it's in Hollywood or politics, and it's just weird. Am I the only one that thinks like that? Like, we're living thank you, Megan. Like, it is just weird. Like, when people are like, well, we're only together for whatever, that it looks good. I'm like, what is that? Or you have two separate lives, but yet you're mad. It is weird. I'm just going to call it out. Weird. There is no greater tragedy than when two people are together, but they're not united. We're living two separate lives, two separate, you name it. It's just, there was something, it's meant for something greater. Because I see the value in what could be in something that's united. In what God wants to do through a marriage. For Priscilla and Aquila, they were together and unified on a common goal, and that was Jesus. And what we saw was a level of oneness. To build a marriage, putting Christ above each other. To see priorities change. To see woundings healed. Watch where God will take you if we put Him first in our marriages. Watch how God brings it about. And we're going to see next week is we're going to talk about there's one forgiveness. We're going to take a look at some brokenness that comes through marriage and how we begin to work through those things. But the place where it has the foundation, we talked about a proper foundation being Christ. But now the foundation has to be a common goal. There's one purpose for your lives. And watch where God begins to take you in those places. There's a level of oneness that He wants. And my question is, where can it take your marriage? For Priscilla and Aquila, it took them into even investing into the next generation. It took Paul, Paul's very last letter in 2 Timothy, which is probably like 2 years before he died. It could have been 2 hours, we're not really sure. But it was very soon. He knew that his time was very short. He even writes in 2 Timothy, send my greeting to Priscilla and Aquila. So much that the last thing he wanted to do was say, guys, keep doing what you're doing. Can you just imagine someone on their deathbed sending you a letter saying, keep doing what you're doing. Build a life on Christ and put Him above each other and watch where it will take you. You know where it will take you? It will take you to places of just richness and depth. You want to be that? You want to be that couple holding their hands in a rocking chair somewhere, looking at a sunset? That's not a bad view. But how much richer is it going to be if it's not built on what I want, but it's built on what Jesus wants for us? And watch as God begins to take you in places where you never thought possible. I mean, the story, just our story, has been crazy, where God has brought Tab and I into places like Nyack, New York, Middletown, New York, this little town called Glenmore. Who knows where that is, right? Right? And God has done some amazing things. And we're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. And I tell you, we do not have the perfect marriage, right? But we have the perfect goal. With Jesus at the forefront of all that we do. And I can rest assured and confident that we'll be able to look back at the course of our life and see what the amazing people and things that God has done in our life, because we had a common goal and we were unified on that goal. And the stories that will just come out of that. And I'm looking forward to the day in heaven where we get a chance to interact with people. You won't know. You wouldn't understand. Oh my gosh. Because it's not this phony Instagram. It's this true life where we put Jesus first and overcame hurdles and hurts and woundings and made Him the center of what we do. My challenge is not for you to be happily ever after. My challenge is for you to be united ever after. And watch as happiness becomes a byproduct of that unity, rather than making the goal something that we have to work for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we put you first and foremost in all that we say and do. Would you lead us and guide us and challenge us? I'm sure, Lord, I don't know all the stories. I don't know all the things that are happening in this room. I don't know all the hurtings. I don't know all the woundings. I don't know all the depths of what I'm speaking here to this audience, but Lord, you do. And it's your desire to see unity among our couples, among even families. This message just is not just specific to married couples, but though, Lord, you are been guiding me to share it. But Lord, unity is what you want, whether it's just us and you, or whether it's two becoming one. Lord, the message is the same, that we put you first in our lives, in our goals, in our visions, in our dreams, in our hopes. And what we will see is that from a level of being united, there will become this great opportunity to serve you in deeper ways. Lord, bring healing where it's needed. Bring restoration where it's needed. Bring vision where it's needed. Bring unity where there's separation. And I pray that we would be a place where Satan cannot get his hooks in, because we are so unified in the abundant life that you desire to bring. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.